Paranormal Perception is a full-bodied apparition summoned by 22 Creations Multimedia LLC. Taking a look at the unseen world around us. A world of shadows. Unheard whispers. Restless souls. Strange creatures. We'll explore these topics and more. Not for answers. It is called the unknown for a reason.
Come and find me.
By the end of this episode, you'll have a new perception on the paranormal.
I'm watching you.
Paranormal Perception. With Henry San Miguel, Wednesday Darkling, and Raven Hawthorne.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Perception. Today we are talking about your favorite subject, ghost hunting. And I know that's why you listen to the show, because you love ghosts and you love all things paranormal, right, Henry?
Yes. Yeah, actually, well, I got a few stories, but I'll share them for a little, as we get into the episode.
So today we're going to do a little ghost hunting 101. So you want to be a ghost buster? We're going to tell you a little bit on how to get into doing that.
Wait. Before you get into it, let me ask you. We've actually never talked about this before. Do you like that term ghost hunter or ghost investigator?
I prefer the term paranormal investigator, but I think it's fun to say Ghostbuster. I just think it's fun.
Not Buster, Hunter.
No, I like Ghostbuster.
Well, it's trademark. You can't really use that one, but okay.
I know. Yeah, but ghost, you're not really hunting a ghost, but I mean, it's just fun.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again.
I think the proper term is really paranormal investigator.
Paranormally correct. There's politically correct and paranormally correct.
Yeah.
I always say ghost investigating, ghost investigator rather than ghost hunter. I don't know if it's because of the movie or this is just me. When somebody says, hey, I'm a ghost hunter, I'm going to go hunting ghosts, I picture like an Elmer Fudd kind of thing where you've got your, what are that backpack called that the Ghostbuster use, and you're off hunting them with your, what's the gun, the thing that they use?
I forget what it's called.
Yeah, you guys know that, but that's what I picture when you say ghost hunter.
I imagine Elmer Fudd with a giant butterfly net.
I'm going to catch these ghosts. Be very, very quiet. So, we've done some. We've done it when we were at the Biltmore last year at Jackson, when we did the Jackson event with Doug Carnahan. We had an investigation there. We've talked about what you saw, what you got. You got a lot at the Biltmore. You got a lot at the where were you, at the jail or the courthouse in Jackson?
The courthouse, yeah, the Amador courthouse.
Yeah, you got a lot of stuff there. So, and those are fun. But the first thing I will say, having done a few investigations now, I will say I like it more, not because I'm social. What's the word? I'm not afraid of people, but I like more when it's just, let's say it's you, me, Doug, Raven, when it's just us doing an investigation. I like those better. I think we get a lot more activity, a lot more research. Whereas you tell me, because you obviously have more experience with this, you tell me if I'm wrong the way I see it. When it's like the Biltmore, it's part of a convention of Paracon, and the final thing on Saturday, let's go ghost hunting, let's go full blown investigation. When it's a group of 40 people, it's like when you have a puppy and you have a company come over, the puppy like, ooh, new people to play with it. Ooh. I think that's what happens with the spirits. And after like a while, you're not getting any activity. Not because there's nothing there, it's because you wore them out. It's like everybody's coming in.
Yeah, they get tired.
Yeah. So that's part of the reason why I say I personally like it better when it's just a smaller group, just solo or a smaller group. Because you tend to get a lot more evidence, a lot more activity directed at you. So that's the first thing is, we're not saying that that's the right way. I mean, Is there a right or wrong way to investigate, or just however you want to?
I mean, I definitely think there are wrong ways to investigate.
Yeah, I mean,
there are ways to not do it right. Like if you're a jerk when you go in and you're like, hey, talk to me, and just be really demanding and rude, I wouldn't respond well to that. I would be telling you to go do you know what to yourself. And I think ghosts feel the same way.
Do you know what to yourself? Well, because, I mean, again, I bring it up. I like when you said that. I think it was last year we were talking to Mike Casey, and you said it. Talk to the spirit the same way you would talk to a person. Like if you go to a restaurant, you tell the waiter, hey, give me French fries, give me coffee right now. Get it right now. If you say, I'd like to have a coffee, and do you want creamer? And so, yeah, please, all that. Yes, please, all of that. Same thing with the spirits. I mean, I think you said it also, or Mike, or both of you said it. They were people also before they got to the afterlife. They were people, so be polite to them. Hi, I'm here. I know this is your house, but if you could tell me how long have you been here, what did you do, what happened, and like Wednesday is find out, guess what? If you're polite to them, they'll be polite to you and say, well, I've been living here since, because a lot of times that's all they want. They see people, but nobody acknowledges the fact that they're there. When finally somebody says, hey, oh, cool, they see me, I can talk to you, they're willing to tell you their whole story. Sometimes, not always. So that's the first thing. So those of you who are listening and are wondering, okay, so where do I go? Are ghosts everywhere? Where do I go? Let's start there. How do you find the location where to go investigate for ghosts?
Well, an easy peasy way is Jeff Dwyer's books. Jeff Dwyer has written a ton of books, and he's got research on all kinds of locations. If you're in California, he's basically researched all of California. He's researched New Orleans, where else? Oregon. I mean, it would be awesome if he could do the whole United States, because that would just be amazing.
Well, then wait. Then I got a surprise for you. That's actually why he hasn't published a book. That's what he's working on. He's working on asylums. But like you mentioned, he came on not on Paranormal Perception, but on the other show, on the Geek Speak show. What was it? Almost 3 years ago now. He's been working on that. It's taking long, not because he's got writer's block or anything. It's because he has to travel. He has to go all over the United States covering, you know, Trans-Allegheny is one of the biggest ones. He's going there. He's going to asylums because obviously, even if they're not haunted, there's a lot of residual because of all the activity that went in. They're sometimes legal, sometimes not. So he is doing that. So you'll be happy when that book comes out.
Excellent. Take me with you.
Actually, he did, but I mean, not take us, but he did ask, do we want to go to one? We'll talk about it when we're done.
Yes. Another way is Google, guys. You can Google it. A quick Google search and be like haunted area, like in your Google haunted my town. I guarantee you somebody's probably written a blog about or written a Reddit post on something that's happened to them in your area. Go on YouTube. There, people have probably filmed it, and that is an easy way to find a haunted area. But don't be a jerk and don't trespass, because if you're in a rural area, that could get you shot or arrested, and you don't want to get shot or arrested while you're ghost hunting. It's not worth the price, guys. If you want really easy pickings, go to an old cemetery. There are always residual ghosts at a cemetery. If you want to find a ghost and you just want to find a ghost, go to a cemetery. There are ghosts. There are shadow figures at cemeteries. I managed to photograph a ghost while doing my outfit of the day in a cemetery one time, completely on accident. I was like, hey, there's a ghost in the background of this. And it was pretty cool. It's on my Instagram if you want to see it, but it's kind of old. I'll post it in my Instagram stories today. When you go out, be sure to be aware of your surroundings, because you know who likes old abandoned areas? People who are up to no good. So, you know, stay safe out there.
Yeah, and the other thing, you mentioned Jeff Dwyer. He's said it many, many times before. You've said it, not here. We'll probably mention it right now. But when we talk about it, you've said it also, is that I know you the listeners, you get this idea from watching the paranormal reality shows, and they're always in the dark using infrared. you do not have to investigate in the dark or even at night. I mean, I've always said ghosts are not performers, but they're there all the time. Time means nothing to them. So if you go somewhere in the middle of the day, you're still going to get the same amount of activity.
I almost never go out. The only time I ever go out at night is if it's an event. Usually I go ghost hunting during the day. Yeah. Because I can see what I'm doing and I'm not tripping over myself. And it's a lot easier to go ghost hunting during the day than it is to go at night. You don't have to go at night. The ghosts are still there during the day, guys.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask that actually. Is besides, I mean, the TV shows, if you're doing a TV show, I get it. It looks cool on TV. But if you're just investigating just for your own research, your own information, is there any reason why to do it at night?
I think shadow figures, they come out. Well, I think they're there all the time. But shadow figures, you can see them better at night for some reason. They sometimes shy away from the dark or shy away from lights. So if you're in the dark, you can visualize them better in the dark. I know it's kind of a strange concept. You can see something dark in the dark better, but yeah. Shadow figures tend to, you know, you can see them better in the dark. So that would be a reason to go, like, to go. I don't really see shadow figures when I go to the cemetery during the daytime, but at night I see a lot of shadow figures.
Yeah, actually, you cleared that up, because when you first mentioned it a few minutes ago before we started recording, that's what I first thought. I was like, wait. But if the sun's out, there's more light, wouldn't you get more shadows and see more shadow figures? But I guess, yeah, there's no doubt if you're in the dark and you see a shadow figure, okay, well, there's no light, no nothing. So what's casting that shadow must be it, the shadow, he, she, it. Because there's been animal, I've seen animal shadow figures, it's not just humans. So whatever that is, it's for real. It's the real deal. It's not being, you know, cast by a light or the sun or anything like that. So there's that. Now that you know when, where you should go. Oh, let me ask you. Everybody's giving me a different answer for this, and yeah, I've seen him on your Instagram long before you came on Paranormal Perception. But as I've seen it, I actually saw your. I don't think it was the one you're pointing at, but I saw you at a cemetery. I don't know if it's by your house or wherever, but. Let me ask you, because everybody's giving me a different reason. Why are cemeteries active? Because that's the final resting place, but that's usually not where people die. That's where they go after they die. And you think the traumatic event, accident, whatever, you know, violent act, whatever it is, that's where the residual activity would be, where it happened, or if they go back to their home, their favorite place. But why the cemetery? Why are they still active?
Okay, well, there's different theories on this. I think some people are tied to their bodies. Like I talked with a spirit that in the cemetery by my house, and she said that she was stuck with her body because she thought that she couldn't move on because she was buried in California. But she wanted to be buried in where her home was, and her home was in Vermont. And so she was staying with her body, and she didn't want to move on.
Wait a minute. So that wasn't Sarah Winchester, was it?
No, it wasn't. And one of the other reasons that there's so much activity is people keep going back to these places over and over again. There's so much grief there, and like emotions cause residual hauntings. So people keep coming back, and they bring all this sorrow with them, and it causes a haunting. It's not necessarily the ghost, it's this residual emotion. So people keep coming back and grieving for their loved one, and that is what's causing the haunting. It's not necessarily the ghost.
Yeah, I mean, and the other one, like you mentioned in the beginning, is restless spirit, whether you didn't follow their final wishes in a will or a testament that they left. If you didn't follow that, or you changed it without telling them, they know. Or, like happens a lot, you've seen it in movies, Poltergeist, the first one you come up with. You move, for whatever reason, you move the cemetery, but you only move the headstone, but the bodies are still there.
Right. Or misidentified bodies that are buried there. Like there are some bodies, like some of the places I go to investigate, they're old pioneer cemeteries because, you know, here in California, we have a lot of pioneer cemeteries and there are no headstones. There is just a bunch of mounds of dirt and there are like three headstones in there. And, you know, there's a ton of bodies there, but there are no headstones. So it's just a bunch of unmarked graves and they're restless spirits.
Yeah, which maybe at this point they don't even have any family or anything left. So yeah, nobody goes to visit them. Nobody can identify who would be in there.
Right.
So those are the places to go to. Let's get down to the nitty gritty, and that is the tools. What kind of tools should you take with you?
So the good thing is you don't have to have a bunch of fancy tools to go ghost hunting. You can just go with yourself. You can develop your psychic powers and you can use the psychic method, which is kind of what I do. I am sensitive, so I use the psychic method and I use dowsing rods. And dowsing rods, you can buy them on like Amazon for like $20, or you can get a nicer pair on Etsy. You can get them at Paracons. You can get them all over the place. They're pretty cheap. I think the ones I got on Amazon were like $20. They're not that bad. Although I've seen some pretty nice ones on Etsy. I think I might upgrade. But it doesn't have to be this huge investment. Like, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get a kit together. You can go out with the paper and pen and your phone. Those are like some tools that you have in your pocket already. Your phone has a camera. Your phone has a voice recorder on it. So you can just go out, turn on your voice recorder, and start asking questions and see if you get an EVP recording a response back. When you play it back, see if there's any anomalies. And you want to make sure that you're listening in on a good set of headphones. You don't just want to like play it back on your phone speaker. You want to make sure you're isolating the sounds because sometimes it's hard to distinguish the sounds, the voices from the spirits once they're speaking to you on the phone if you're using kind of the crappy phone speakers. So really invest in like a nicer pair of headphones, or even if you're just using a pair of earbuds, just try to isolate the sounds. If you're using your phone camera, try to capture, just take pictures and try to capture whatever's going on around you. When we were at the Biltmore, we were talking to a little spirit out in that little cabin out in the back lot. And there was a little girl out there who was telling us she died in a house fire. And I was talking to her and a lady was taking pictures, and she took a picture of something that was in front of me. And there was like this red fireball, like sitting right in front of me. Like it looked like it was a head that was on fire. That was the approximate height of where like a 4-year-old would be standing. And it wasn't an orb and it wasn't like a flash of light. We were like, whoa, that's really weird. So I'd never got the picture from her, which is my bad. So I can't really like see if we can debunk it and see if it was like a flash of something else. But you can see if there are orbs, and you want to be careful when you're looking at orbs because they can be particles of dust, they can be insects, they can be all kinds of things. Be careful when you're looking at orbs. You want to make sure that you are thoroughly checking on those to debunk them.
I would say the first thing then is whether it's your phone or an actual camera, like a camcorder or a professional camera, clean the lens before you start shooting.
Right. Because remember when we were ghost hunting the other day, you and I, and we had someone filming and we caught like something in the light and we were like, what is that? And then we determined that it was actually like a reflection from the camera.
Yeah. See, it's easy to get excited about like dirt, basically.
Yeah. And like when you're looking for something, you want it to be a spirit. You really want it to be something, and you got to go in with an open mind and you got to want to debunk it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we get so excited. There's a lot of that where wishful thinking, McCullough. You'll think you're hearing a voice. You think you're seeing orbs and all that. But you know what? We got so excited. We made a mistake that a lot of ghost hunters, ghost investigators make. And we should have started that actually even before you went to the tools. And that is, how do you protect yourself? How do you prepare yourself before you go into the location?
Okay. There are lots of ways to protect yourself. And one of the best ways to protect yourself is ground yourself before you start your ghost hunting. So ground yourself by meditating. You can do a prayer or a chant or a ritual first, depending on what your religious beliefs are. Meditating is really powerful. You want to clear your mind. You don't want to be thinking about what you're going to have for dinner or worrying about the fight you just had with your spouse or what the piles of work you had on your desk when you left work on Friday. You want to have a clear mind, because if you run into a negative spirit, it's going to try to mess with you. And if you run into like a demonic spirit, it's really going to try to mess with you. Like, that's what they do. So you want to try to protect your mind and like lock that down. So meditate and clear your mind and don't give it anything to mess with. That's the first step. Second step, don't do drugs. Don't drink. Don't be under the influence when you're doing this. Like, that's a mistake. Don't do that. Another way to like clear your mind is exercise first. If you're not into like the prayers and the chanting, exercise is a good way to clear your mind. Just try to ground yourself before you go in. The goal is to clear your mind. So if you're experiencing a powerful emotion like grief or like rage, if something like really terrible has happened to you, maybe you should stay at home. Maybe it's not the best night to go ghost hunting. I hate to say it, but, you know, like sometimes stuff happens in our lives and it's out of our control and maybe it's best we stay at home. Another way to protect yourself is be polite. The ghosts won't have a reason to attack you if you are not being a jerk to them. Remember, I've said it before, be polite. They were people once, and some people tend to attack when you're being a jerk to them. Spirits are no different. And then there is the white light. So we've talked about it with Mike Casey. There's the white light. You imagine a powerful white light circling your head, moving down the length of your body all the way to your feet. Imagine this light expanding into a bubble, like an aura of protection that moves with you as you go about your work. I imagine that the white light is drawing up power from all of the atoms around me. So I'm drawing energy from each atom that is around me, and I am using it to form a shield, and that shield is not penetrable. And that's how I make my white light. You can use whatever method you are comfortable with. Some people pray and they get their power from divine intervention, from angels, from God, from whatever they want to use. You can use crystals like black obsidian, labradorite, fluorite, Apache tear, storolite, black tourmaline. Those are all powerful crystals that will help protect you from spiritual attack. Holy water, crosses, if you're religious, those will help protect you. And then after you're done with the paranormal encounter, I always bring sage with me. And after I leave a place, I sage myself. I sage the people that are with me before I get into the car. That's one way that I help to cleanse myself. When you get home, you can take a salt bath. Salt is very cleansing. It'll help draw out all the negative energy and wash it down the drain. You can also get a protection bag on Etsy. So find a witch. They'll make you a protection bag on Etsy for paranormal investigating. I've seen them. They usually have stuff like a clear quartz crystal, holy water, a piece of sage, some salt, stuff like that inside of them. And that'll give you protection. Then I think that those are some pretty good ways to protect yourself.
Yeah, I was smiling when you mentioned the white light because I was thinking back to that conversation we had with Mike. I mean, we can laugh at it now. He can laugh at it now because he's here to laugh at it. But let's say you're using that method. You're imagining the white light around you. But like what happened with him, he saw this figure, this big and super huge figure, like he said, coming towards him. He didn't know what it was. He's thinking the white light. So he mentioned in our interview, in his head, he's like, I'm trying to tell it to go away, but white light, I've got the white light. How does that stop something like that? How do you keep your concentration when you've got something that is probably going to scare you because you don't know what it is? How do you keep concentrating on the white light?
Well, I'm pretty good at concentrating on the white light. Remember when I said I went to the Amador County Jail and everybody was getting attacked and I wasn't getting attacked? I was concentrating on my white light.
Yeah, so that works. So those are things, again, we got excited, and it's understandable. When you go, you know, you get the location, you're there, you've got the tools, you're ready to go. It's easy to forget to ground yourself first. And if you, I mean, does it still work if, let's say, you're into the investigation and you realize, oh, I forgot to ground myself. Can you still do it or too late?
No, you should. Take a minute. Take a minute and meditate. It's not hard to take a minute to meditate. Once you learn how to meditate, you can take a minute to clear your mind. And it's a skill that you can develop, and you can do it anywhere. And if you realize that you forgot to do it, stop and do it.
Yeah. So,
and then when you're done, be sure to close your session. Be sure to say thank you to the spirits that you communicated with, and make sure to tell them that they can't follow you because you don't want spirits or demons or anything that's out there, entities of any kind, whatever you believe in, following you home.
Yeah. So that's, again, that's what you should do before you start any investigation, anything. So we were talking about the tools. We'll talk about those in just a minute. But first, let's let Raven do your reading, see what kind of week you're going to have. If you're going to go out on an investigation, especially after you hear what we're telling you, Raven will tell you, maybe this is the week to do it, or you might want to wait till next week. Let's find out what she says with her weekly reading.
Readings with Raven Hawthorne.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all had a great weekend. Hopefully you got time to reflect and recharge during the full moon that we just had. So a few weeks ago, I saw a post on Instagram from another fellow tarot reader that it really stuck with me. He basically stated that, yes, memorizing and knowing the base meaning of each card is really great, but we need to get out of the way and kind of let the guide speak through the cards. And to me, that's really important. So yeah, you definitely need to know what each card means as you're learning. It's really great to kind of go over them and read them and see what the meaning is. But oftentimes you'll find, as I do, once you're comfortable with it and you're doing the reading, that the guides will say, okay, well, this card I place next to this card, and there's a reason for that. And this is really what I'm telling you and what I want to tell the listener, what I want to tell the person you're reading for. I just thought it was kind of a neat thing to see another fellow tarot reader do. So let's go ahead and look at the cards for this week and see what we've got. The first card I drew for the self card is the Lovers. And what a great card this is. On it we see a naked man and woman, and the nakedness is showing complete trust in one another and a willingness to open up. These two are surrounded by fertile land, clear skies, and a tree full of apples, full of fruit. This represents all the goodness, the love and the harmony and peace and joy flowing. There's a white light that also shines down from the tree, and that speaks of our connection to the divine, to that spiritual realm. Oftentimes, people associate this card with romance, and it can be, but it also represents friendships and other partnerships. This is a time of harmony, good things flowing for you. With that divine connection you now have, you're kind of figuring out where you're standing, who you are, you know, what you stand for. And those things are kind of flowing back to you now that you're putting them out into the universe. This is a great time to make some creative decisions or to ask for help from the people around you, from the people that you trust. For the situation, I got the Two of Swords. It's funny how much this card has popped up over the readings. And although it can be kind of viewed in a negative sense, really it's just about making decisions and, you know, kind of seeing everything clearly. So it's time to make those decisions. It's just kind of how the Lover's card really suggested, you know, making some creative decisions or making a creative move on your part or something that's going to benefit you. So now that you kind of know what you want to manifest, what you stand for in your life, you will ultimately be faced with choices that may be difficult to make. And we see on this card the water surrounding the blindfolded woman. It's very choppy. So this means that we ourselves need to calm the storm with inside, and we need to think with rationality rather than those emotions. Take off the blindfold that you have and you really can see things the way that they are. Sometimes even a minor decision can have a really big impact, so make sure that you step back and you weigh out those pros and cons. And this could be anything from work, this could be anything from your personal life, family life. Again, it could be something minor that ultimately will have a huge impact. It could be a game changer for you. So really just step back for a second. Just take time to look and really see the situation for what it is. For the challenge, I got the Nine of Pentacles. So with this card, I'm kind of getting a sense of it's time for you to work alone. And there's a fear and anxiety that kind of comes with that. Generally, this card isn't negative. It's usually speaking of a time to kind of enjoy the benefits of your hard work and just kind of taking time to see the things that you've done on your own and enjoying those things. But for this, because it fell into this position, the guides are really asking you to go off on your own and to trust them. This might mean leaving the job, leaving town, you know, moving, or even leaving a relationship. It could be a loving relationship, yes, it could be between a boyfriend, girlfriend, but it could also mean just a relationship that is actually really toxic for you, and it's kind of holding you back. So it's time to go off on your own, because this is a time of growth for you and self-discovery. You'll become a stronger person. And eventually, as you step back, as you start to do these things on your own, the difficult work of this transformation time will, it'll kind of lead to a reward period. So like the woman on the card, you'll be able to step back then and just enjoy life. This is really kind of the message that I'm getting with this card. So overall, not bad, but it's kind of another step on self-discovery. Your journey, like you, this is your life, so let's make the decisions for you that better you. That's all I have for the reading this week. Love and light to you all.
That's this week's reading. Follow Raven Hawthorne at Ravens and Ghosts.
At Ravens underscore and underscore ghosts.
Paranormal Perception continues.
So there you go. Raven says we are all gonna die. It's a very Wednesday answer.
Yes.
But now let's continue on with that. Like I said, we started a minute ago. We started with the tools until we realized we're getting a little bit excited. If we got to ground ourselves. So now you know how to do that. You're prepared. You got the location. You're prepared. You're grounded. You've got half the tools. Let's continue with the rest. We talked about the cameras. The main thing again. Because you're going to be excited. You're going to see something. It's orbs. It might just be a speck of dust. Make sure your lenses are clean, whether it's your phone, an actual camcorder, a professional camera, whatever it is. Clean them beforehand. Clean them while you're there also. Don't use Don't use spit. That's for sure. Don't use any dirty socks. Yeah, don't use any liquid to is what I'm saying, because then you're just gonna break the camera and your or your phone, unless you have one of those that's like waterproof. But make sure it's a clean lens. The one you and I have, I think we ours warns us when it says make sure you clean the lens. It seems like it's dirty, so do that. We've got the camera down now. How about one of our other senses, audio, our hearing? Recorders. We have talked about them here. We did an entire episode, in fact, earlier last year when we first started Paranormal Perception, about EVPs and how to get them and what they are. Doug Carnahan, in fact, came on with and talked to us about it. I don't remember if we said, is there a specific recorder you need to use? I think it'd be anything. So go ahead and start there. Let's go on with the tools. Let's start with audio. How do you get EVPs or any other audio when you're out on an investigation?
So I use my cell phone. I downloaded a free app. It was the first one that came up when I looked for voice recorder in the app store. So you can just download a voice recorder. And it was really good. We got a pretty good EVP down when we were ghost hunting a couple weeks ago. It was a really good voice recorder. You can use your phone. You can use an analog voice recorder. Go to the thrift store and find an old school tape recorder, because you can get different sounds using different voice recorders. The analog ones have a little bit of white noise to them because of the mechanics of the machine. So use an analog voice recorder to get a different quality of sound. Make sure you're not whispering when you're recording, because that will sound like there's a ghost in the room, and it's not a ghost in the room. It's you. It's you. So don't like shoot yourself in the foot with that. Designate one person to do the talking. If another member of the group has questions for the spirit, use a pen and paper to have that person write them down for the speaker. You should bring a pen and paper with you, by the way. I always have a pen and paper with me. And then have a list of questions ready to go. I have a list of 10 questions that I ask all my spirits. And I can usually come up with more once I get the answers to my original 10 questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, you don't. You have like notebooks and you have 10 questions, but you end up with like 90 questions by the time we're done.
It's true. There are sub questions to my 10 questions. Like, it's like a choose your own adventure. It's like, if the answer to this question is yes, then there's 3 more questions that you ask.
Yeah.
I'm very organized. I have a spreadsheet. So once you have your voice recorder down, you can go back and you can listen to it and see if there are any anomalies, and see if you hear anything that wasn't there or that you didn't hear when you were asking the questions. And sometimes, like when you are there recording, you will hear stuff. You will hear some sounds in the background, and hopefully you got that on your recording. Some people, they don't like to record right away. I always turn on the voice recorder the instant I get in the room, because I've been in the room sometimes when we started and the voice recorder wasn't going, and we missed stuff because we were busy talking and not recording. So I always turn on the recorder as soon as I get in the room. So that way I don't miss anything. That is my style. You do whatever you want. You do you, boo-boo. The next tool is an EMF reader. So this is an electric magnetic field reader. It is a tool that electricians use to find electric current in walls. So keeping that in mind, make sure that you are not actually picking up electric current when you are walking around. It will pick up electric current from your phone. So turn your phone off.
Yeah.
That is important, guys. Walk around, and if the indicator lights up when you're walking around and you are not near an electric current, if you are not near a power box in a wall or something, there may be a spirit around you. You can get one at a home improvement store for about $50. You can also get them online. They aren't that expensive. It's a pretty low cost investment if you want to get into ghost hunting. I personally don't use them. My tool of choice is the next one, which is dowsing rods. They take a little practice, but they are really fun to use. When you get your dowsing rods, you hold them loosely in your hands so that the rods can swing freely. You keep them level. The goal is to have them out in front of you so that they are parallel to each other and not swinging around all over the place. And then you tell your spirit that you would like them to cross the rods for yes or push them apart for no. And hopefully if there's a spirit there, they will cross the rods for you. And the goal is so that you don't, you know, like you're not influencing the rods. Spirit is doing it. So make sure that you're keeping them level and that they're not moving all over the place because you are swinging them around. It takes a little bit of practice, but once you get used to it, they're really fun to use. And another tool that's really fun is a crystal pendulum. And these are also relatively cheap. You can get them online. You can get them from a rock shop or any place you can get crystals. They can be used like dowsing rods to get yes, no answers. Or they can be used like a Ouija board if you get a pendulum board that has an alphabet printed on it. You wrap the chain around one of your fingers and you let it hang. And you can designate a left-right motion for yes and an up-down motion for no, or however you feel like the swinging should go. And if you want, you can get a pendulum board online, or I've seen at paranormal cons people sell them, or on Etsy. You can get a pendulum board that has an alphabet printed on it, and you hold the pendulum over the board and the pendulum will swing in the direction of whatever letter is printed on the board, and you can use it to spell out things. I was able to get a spirit's name that way when we were at the Hotel Leger. And it works just like a Ouija board, sort of. You just hold it out and you spell out the name of the spirit. You can have them spell out messages. And then mine also, I made my own pendulum board, and mine also has a yes and a no and a hello and a goodbye, so that you can end communications with the spirit. So those are some really simple tools to get you started. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. All of these tools are less than $50.
I will, going back to the recorder, I will say that is, again, something else people don't think about, it, but it is pretty common sense, where you designate one person, kind of like a designated driver. You designate a designated asker, I guess it would be in this case. Two reasons for that. One is so that there's, again, like when we do the Paracon investigations, there's like 20, somebody's doing an EVP, somebody's doing rods, somebody's doing video, there's all kinds of stuff going on. This way you have one person asking the questions, and also if that person is male, female, and you get familiar with their voice, when you do hear something, you know it's not them or anybody else. So those are, again, common sense reasons why to designate one person to do all the asking. And yeah, that's the big one. That's caught me a couple of times, people whispering. I wasn't even aware they were talking about it. And then when I play it back, we got something. Yeah, you got our camera person saying, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Can we take a break? Yeah, that's what we got. So yeah, no whispering when you're doing an EVP session. The final thing, and I guess this is like why else would you go out there, is what's the point? Why are we investigating?
Okay, so this is my disclaimer. I don't think we're ever going to be able to prove the existence of ghosts. We are not meant to know what happens after death until we get there. All of this is just for fun. We're, no matter how scientific you get, you're never going to be able to prove that there is a ghost there or not. So if you believe that there are ghosts, then yes, there are ghosts. And if you don't believe that there are ghosts, okay, I guess that there are not ghosts. But we're never going to be able to prove it. So here are some ways that you can tell that there are totally ghosts, guys. Cold spots or hot spots. Chills going down your spine. When we were at the Biltmore, every time we would get a correct answer for this particular ghost, everyone in the room would get like massive chills down their spine. It was really cool. Goose flesh. When you also got to be like sure that it's not just really freaking cold in the room when you're getting the goose flesh.
Yeah, because there's a window open. That's why.
Yeah, be sure like you're debunking yourself, okay? Knocking sounds, objects moving around when they're not supposed to be, whispers, that's not someone part of your team whispering, growls, and if you're using the psychic method, feeling dizzy, feeling sick, headaches, intrusive thoughts, scenes playing out in your head, emotions that are not yours. Those are all some ways that you can tell that there may be a spirit in the room.
Yeah, you've said it a few times now, and let's clarify that also when you say it by debunking yourself, or just because you're not going into a location looking to point fingers. That's fake. That's fake. You're a fake. That's fake. That's not what Wednesday is saying. What it means is eliminate the obvious. Like right now, a second ago, you said cold spots. Well, if you're standing next to an open window, it's a windy day. Yeah, that might be why it's cold. Or vice versa, you're standing in the room with no windows, no doors, no air, no drafts coming in, and it's like really, really hot. It's not paranormal. It's just really, really, really hot. So eliminate the obvious. The others, you're in a room, you're hearing creaks, you're hearing things move around, you're hearing like whispers. Look up. There's a lot of pipes there, old pipes. It might be that water running through that, somebody flushing a toilet or doing something in another room. There's that. Eliminate the obvious is what we're saying. Is not saying go in there to debunk everything. Not everything is fake. And like you were saying at the beginning, the disclaimer. To me, again, why we do paranormal perception, why it's called perception, is so that you get a different look at the paranormal. And paranormal doesn't automatically mean ghosts or anything. It's just out of the ordinary. When we do this, when we talk to ghost hunters, when we go out to events and do investigations, when we present any and all evidence that we get out there or that other investigators have gotten, it's not to tell you, the listeners, to tell you, well, look at this, we got this, so you have to believe, you have to. My thing has always been, even long before paranormal perception, my thing has always been, there is so many reports, so many stories, so much evidence all over the world, not just in one section, but all over the world, that really, at this point, after all these millennia, really, not even centuries, but all these millennia of humans with stories, I see this, I heard that, I heard this, I've seen this, this happens when people die, this, all that stuff. How can you not think there was something waiting for us on the other side? And really, I see it as really, really positive, because be thankful that there is something. Our story's not done, whatever the story is here. When we go, wherever we go, unless we cross over and we live in peace, wherever that's going to be, or start another life, whatever happens there, there is something there. And another thing I've been thinking recently, the more investigations, the more things that I do, is, yeah, the living, we miss the people that are gone and everything, but really, because I kind of said this to my mom when she was in hospice, you're do give an invitation. I would say I did to my mom. Give an invitation. If you find a way to, you know, punch into this world again and check in on us, come on back. If it's a way for you to visit, for us to at least feel you, smell you, feel your presence, know that you're there, then it's not really scary or any of that. It's just, hey, there is something there. Grandma is there. My mom's there. My uncle, my brother, whoever it is. And they're checking in on me. Now, if it's somebody else, you know, again, going back to what you said in the beginning about being polite, same thing. If it's someone that's not related to you, someone you know, you buy a new house, you go visit a hotel, you're at an event or something, and there's something or someone there, they were people too. They're, and you have that ability to see them. Don't run away. Oh, it's a demon. It's a demon. Not everything is a demon. Believe me, if it's a demon, you'll know. But be polite, like Wednesday said. Don't like get out of here. We don't want you. You're just like, hi, I'm Wednesday. Who are you? What's your name? Nice to meet you. You might make a new friend. And how cool would it be to be able to tell people, I have a friend who used to live here in the 1800s, but now they're my friend. They're what was the cowboy's name? Declan.
Declan. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend named Declan. And his favorite horse is this, and he used to do this, used to do that, and then somewhere else you have another friend. So you have friends in this world and in the other one. So treat it like that. Be nice to them. Don't go in there, dude, you're a demon. I've got this black energy in me. not everything is demon or any of that. So that's one thing, you know, going back to that. Yeah, when we investigate, whether it's us, whether you guys go out on your own, whatever it is, even if you use Jeff Dwyer's books and go out and investigate these known places that he's gone to, like Alcatraz, Winchester, the Presidio area here in San Francisco, that doesn't mean that there is absolute definite proof of the afterlife. That it's just there. Like Wednesday said, leave it open, very Inception. Like, you decide, did the thing fall over or not? Are there things there or not? You decide. Whichever side you fall on, it ain't gonna change the world or anybody else's mind. So only yours. So there you go. We talked about what do you do and all of that. Big question nobody really asks when we have these kind of conversations is, okay, you got the evidence, whether it's audio, video, both, whatever it is. What do you do with it at the end?
Send it to us.
Well, that, but do you just delete it or... What do we do with it at the end? What do you usually do with your evidence?
Send it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I must say, I was going to play it back, but only because I haven't gone through everything. There might be something there, but just on... Because we did an investigation here, actually, at my house. It wasn't for TV or for anything or to put it on YouTube or anything like that, but it was just because the activity had gone up after the Sacramento event that we did. The Yule gathering, after we did that, I'm not saying it's her fault, but when Raven came here and she was telling me, yeah, there's this here, there's that. I've known this. I've been here all my life pretty much. But she felt it when she was here that week, that day after, the activity went through the roof. Like she said, they got excited because, hey, somebody could see me, cool. And I'm communicating with them. So I told you and Maria Lagana Salas, who's been on the show a couple times. She came also, Doug, our own Doug Carnahan. He came here because if anything goes, like, hey, count me in, guys. So he was here too. So the whole gang was here except for Raven. She wasn't here that weekend. But we were all here. We went everywhere. You guys found the portal in my house that I thought there was something here. I just thought it was somewhere else where my first experience happened. I thought it was in that room, but it turned out it's somewhere else entirely. But it does make sense. It explains something. We also went into the basement. Not because let's go in the basement. There actually is something there. Maria talked about that. Not on the show. She told me that over the phone the first time we ever talked, which to me was amazing because she'd never been here, but she described the basement and the backyard area exactly as it is. So when she, and I think you heard it when we were walking down there the first time, she was like, oh, this is exactly what I saw. I saw this, and this is the window. This is the that. This is the this. So we found out, we got the history, we got everything. I haven't listened to all of them. The first one I have, I think I hear something. I haven't really played it back. The two that you sent me last night or the other night, I haven't listened to also. We also have a little bit of video. I did see what you say what we think are orbs, but it's actually like dust or something. I did see that. But I also, I won't say too much about it, but I also just came back this past week and we went and did a bigger investigation, more organized because it was for a TV show, not our TV show, a TV show. And that one, there was a ton of activity there. And a lot of the things that we just finished mentioning here, the investigators did a lot of that. My job, literally, was to just shoot it, just be there and shoot it. Now, there was a lot of things going on where if you were even a little bit skeptic, there's some things that were happening that, you know, you cannot come out of that and say, oh, I don't think I believe in this. How can you not with things like this? So most of this stuff, either if you're not doing it like that for a TV show, you're on a network, you have your show. I mean, obvious why you're doing it. But everybody else, if you just want to find out on your own, get research, go to cemeteries like Wednesday just told you, go you know, to the old abandoned building or somewhere where you think there's going to be some paranormal activity. What do you do with any evidence that you get after? Well, most of you put it on YouTube. Let me put it up there. But the real question is, what do you put on YouTube and why do you put it on YouTube? To become the next Zach Bagans, to become rich and famous off of that? Well, it ain't probably going to happen if you're putting it on YouTube. That's the first thing. The second thing is, what do you put on there? Well, you're not going to put, you know, 20 minutes, 35 minutes of just a dark room and you talking. If anybody's in here, make a sound, make a this. See that right there? You almost wanted to turn away. You're not going to sit there for 35 minutes, watch a dark video. Nothing's happening. In the first few minutes, you might be like, oh, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. 10 minutes in. All right. Is anything going to happen? 20 minutes in. I wonder what I can eat. 40 minutes in. Oh, look at this video over here. So cut it down, obviously. I'm not saying fake it, but I'm saying cut. If you do get something, one, make sure it is everything Wednesday just told you. Make sure it is something real. It's not just pipes or a, you know, wind blowing through a window, open window, a draft through a door. Make sure it's not that. Make sure it's not some, not a camera crew or somebody on your team walking and it makes the floorboards creak. Make sure it's not that. It's something real. Put it up there. Let them decide. Ask them. You know, it's called social media for a reason. Be social with people. There's a lot of people out there, especially today, that are interested in this, have this kind of interest, and they want to know. They, and some of them have a little bit of experience because they've gone on investigations. So they may tell you, hey, yeah, I've heard that before. I thought it was footsteps or something. It's actually, you know, a wall. If there's this or this or this, this is what happens. Or they'll say, cool, dude, that's like really great evidence. So you won't know until you put it out there. But that's what you put out there. You don't put 30 minutes of that in dark because no one's gonna watch it. Don't be shocked if you get like 3 views, 4 views. Do be shocked if you have that and you get 20 million views. Like, really? Why? People need to get a job or something, because you're not. No one's gonna sit there and watch 30 minutes of nothing, darkness, and nothing going on. So that's what you do. That's the kind of stuff you put up there. The other side of that is, and you know, we talked about it with Mike Casey when he came on, and some other investigators over the years. Jeff Dwyer is another one on over on the Geek Speak show and here on Paranormal Perception when we talked to them at the Biltmore. You cannot go into this with the idea, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be famous, I'm going to get a TV show. Because if you do, I can tell you, coming from that side, it's never going to happen. That's not how it works. You, like everything, you got to be really, really good at what you do. You know, you're about to watch the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. The reason why those two teams are, okay, there's a reason why the other one is, but the reason why those two, that one team that always is there and everybody's tired of it, because they're good. If you don't want them there, hope your team gets better than them. That's how you do it. How you get your show on or your evidence, what you do, your investigations, how do you get them on television? Be better than everybody. Have a reason, give people a reason to watch you. Again, no one is going to pay you to sit there in a dark room. Spirit, talk to me. If you're here, talk. See, you're already bored. So no one's going to pay you to do that on a weekly basis. That's the first thing. So you've got to have, yeah, a lot of personality. I'm not saying exactly like her, but you got to be like Wednesday. She's, believe me, you hear her here, but she's a lot of fun when we go out to these events or when we're just talking just every day. So you got to have a personality to begin with. That's the first thing. The next thing is you got to be able to translate that personality when you're on camera. Third thing is specifically for this, you got to be able to have a personality, translate that personality, and still do an investigation, a legit investigation, all at the same time. It's not as easy as it sounds. Try it. That's all I'm saying. Just try it. You'll see what I'm talking about. If you can, then we'll watch your show whenever that gets picked up. But if not, just go out there, have fun. If you do find anything, yeah, she's right. Send it to us, paranormalperception@gmx.com. Send it there. If it's a big, big file, there's something called WeTransfer. It's free. Just send it there, whether it's audio, whether it's video. I keep saying it, our new website's going to come up pretty soon. You're going to give me that look. Hey, yeah, it's like the 20th time you say that. There's things going on. There's life happens. There's afterlife and there's our life. So in this one, we still got to do stuff. But it'll come. We'll have a, how about this? You give me a yes or a no. How about we have a page dedicated just for that, for listeners' evidence?
Definitely.
Yeah, whether it's video, audio, both, or whatever it is, we'll put it on there. Ah, tell you what, you said it, debunk it. And now, don't anybody go crazy like, hey, it's all fake. Just go on there and you know, seriously say, well, it sounds like floorboards, or it sounds like this, or I've experienced that, or, dude, you got something really cool. We'll do that. When the Paranormal Perception webpage goes up. So there you go. Now you know. Again, he's not paying for this or anything. He's just a friend, and I trust him at this point. But do go get Jeff Dwyer's books, the series, The Ghost Hunter's Guide to, you know, wherever, San Francisco, L.A., New Orleans, Oregon. He's done the Gold Country. He's done, I forget the whole series, but he's done a bunch of them. So if you're somewhere in this, in somewhere in California, the Oregon coast, there will be a lot of places for you to go visit if you read Jeff's books. And the best thing about those books that I like, every single one, no matter what the area, starts with kind of like what we just did, a ghost hunting 101. What to do, what not to do. He even provides for you, this is how nice Jeff is, he even provides for you in the back of the book, blank info pages, like location, time, who are the party members, who went, what equipment, all of that stuff. So you have no excuse to not have notes, like Wednesday just told you. Or just take notebooks. It's pretty simple. So there you go. There is this week's Paranormal Perception. Didn't have any guests or anything. Next week we will. But we figured, I think it had something to do with the fact that I went to shoot some, we did it a couple weeks ago here at my house. I went to shoot a TV show, and because of that, I was rereading again Jeff Dwyer's book. So I think we were just in the mood. Then again, it's us. When are we not? So we figured, you know what? Let's tell them how to go do it. How to, and again, new year, new, not revelations. We call them new resolutions. I'm going to be a ghost hunter. You've always wanted to be a ghost hunter. I'm going to do it. 2019 is the year I do it. There you go. There's some info on how to do it and what things to avoid. So next week we will be back. You have any ideas for next week?
Aliens.
It's always aliens. What is it with you and aliens?
Always aliens. I'm fascinated.
I thought you were going to say, because I am one.
Because I'm an alien. There's something I need to tell you.
Hey, explains a lot, actually. So we will see you guys next week. Again, follow us on everything. Well, you only have one, your Instagram. Give me your Instagram so they can follow you.
Wednesday.darkling.
Yeah, and in there, are you going to repost it or just tell them look for it?
I'm gonna repost the ghost picture on my Instagram story today. So if you want to go look at it, you can go look at it.
Yeah. Do you like the original one where you have just the picture? See if they can spot it there, and then, you know, let them swipe and where you circle it and everything.
Okay.
But see if you guys can find it before Wednesday makes it obvious, like big red circle right there. There it is, and it's well, not super clear, but there's definitely something there. So there you go. We will be back next week, and I don't know, we'll see what we give you a perception on Paranormal Perception.
Bye.
Follow Paranormal Perception on Twitter at ParaPerceptShow and on Instagram at Paranormal Perception, and watch our videos on Vimeo.com/ParanormalPerception. Paranormal Perception. Perception was conjured by the Audio Wizards at 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.